I'd like to welcome you to the March 25th, 2026 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. We will now do a roll call and have all commissioners identify themselves. I guess we'll start with Scott.
Scott Kratzer.
Courtney Bonney.
Kathy Levina.
Pam Miller.
And Jeff Notrico's chairman. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development, maintenance of our community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are used by the commission to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks, within the Savannah local historic and conservation districts. The commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise impact on property values, and interior arrangements of structures are not within the commission's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for decisions. Please turn off all cell phones. Signposting. Members of the commission receive an electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Or any projects not properly posted this month. Okay, hearing none. We will go on to the consent agenda. These items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and of apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or a commissioner who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Okay, since there are not, I'd like to get a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Mr. Chair, Scott Kratzer, I move to approve the consent agenda as is.
Pam Eller, I second.
Okay, having a motion tendered and seconded, I'd like to bring it to a vote. We'll start with Scott.
Scott Kratzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Effie Levine, approve.
Pam Miller, approve. Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Notrico, approve. Motion carries. Adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the March 25th, 2026 HPC agenda?
Pat Richardson, I offer a motion that we accept the agenda for the March 25th, 26 meeting.
Pat Miller, second.
Having a motion tendered and second, let's bring it to a vote. We'll start with Scott.
Scott Kratzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Notrico approve. The motion carries. Now let's go to the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? And if not, I'd like to go ahead and get a motion.
Pam Miller, I make a motion. We accept the minutes as written.
Kathy Levine, a second.
Having a motion tendered and second, I'd like to go ahead and bring it to a vote. We'll start with Scott.
Scott Kratzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approved.
Jeff Notrico, approved. Motion carries. There is nothing requested to be removed from the final agenda. Let's see here. Let's go ahead and there's nothing to be on the extension, so I guess we're going to go ahead and go into the meeting itself. And then we will start with a petition of Amani Issa, Amani Issa, 26-001-008 COA 507 East Anderson Street, rehabilitation and alterations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting. The applicant's requesting approval to inspect the exterior siding to either repair or replace in kind, to repair window frames and windows, and to rebuild a fallen staircase on the building at 507 East Anderson Street. It's just a little history. It was built in 1916, and it's a contributing resource. It currently has the address of 507 509 East Anderson, but according to 1916 Sanborn, it was listed at 509, but this clearly the same building, it just became a duplex. The 500 block of East Anderson Street has predominantly two-story wood frame houses built closely together. There is an open space to the right of the building, but the neighboring structure on the left, 511, is 3 or 4 feet away from 507. So just some photos of the area and some of the issues with the siding and the window framing. It's a picture of the former staircase, the egress stair that is proposed to be rebuilt as it was. And then just a few other pictures I took as doing a site visit. This is the side where the stair will go. So it's just kind of in between these two right here. And just some context from, this is kind of if you're standing on the lane, you know, we don't get up on people's properties, but just from here, just what you would see from that view. And then from there and other side of the lane, you're just seeing this. So just to kind of go over our review process, with the Secretary of the Interior standards, conjectural features are not going to be added. The scope of the work is to repair windows and their framing as needed. And the same is the case for the siding. A non-historic egress stair will be rebuilt exactly as it was, so staff found the standards were met. There are many areas on the building where the siding is in very poor condition or missing entirely. In these areas, the applicant proposes to use 3-inch horizontal wood lap siding to match the existing areas where replacement is needed. The applicant also plans to repair windows and frames. Replacement is not proposed at this time. So the staircase is not historic, but was unstable and had fallen into disrepair. So with that, staff recommends to approve the request to repair window frames and windows, repair or replace siding, and rebuild a fallen staircase for the property at 507 East Anderson Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any commissioner have questions for the staff? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner, please?
Hi.
Please state your name.
Amani Issa.
Thank you. Anything you'd like to comment or?
No, I just would like to proceed with the project as soon as we can. So that it would be just, you know, compatible and not an eyesore on that street.
Thank you very much. Okay, we have three public members that want to comment on this. I guess we'll start with Hans Steve Burr.
Hello.
Hello, please state your name.
I'm Hans Stuber. I live at 511 East Anderson Street. September of 2022, we called 911 from the fire that occurred at the resident in question, 507 East Anderson. It's been 3 years. The water is leaking. My backyard floods. There's a lot more than what's described as inspecting, repairing and replacing painting and exterior siding. We're talking about an overhaul of mass destruction of that house. I'm very disappointed in this description 3 years later. When my house was flooding, I called the city 5, 6, 7 times. The water at the one big storm, remember the big storm we had last year? I think it was in the summer. The water was gushing out into my property, gushing. We're talking about holes in a house, not repairing or replacing exterior siding. We're talking about holes in her house. No disrespect to the owner of the house, but I've talked to her many times. I've talked to the city. I've made many complaints. This is an embarrassment to the historic street of Anderson. It's a beautiful street. I have the best rated legal bed and breakfast in Savannah, Georgia. We have a 9.9. It's Ziajana bed and breakfast. Every single solitary guest asks about the houses next door to each of my house. Barbara Sweet, the other person who resides, and I'm trying to help her. I even offered to paint her house. For this property, I have an expert, my other neighbor, Martin, and I'll let him describe because he's in the business. So Martin's also going to speak, but I've been very disappointed for 3 years that the Historic Society, the city, and the owner has not done anything. Whatever they've done inside is inside. When I look out my window, I have pictures, and also Brian McGregor, who's an art galleryist, as I am an art galleryist. I own the Pink Raven. He made complaints to me this morning that the noise is outrageous. It's loud. It's the flapping of the plastic that keeps the water from leaking in the house. But there's holes in the house. We're not talking about repairing. We're talking about serious overhaul required. I disapprove any description that is in this entire process. It's described absolutely incorrectly. And I'm not an expert of a house, but Martin, my neighbor, is, and he's going to talk. Thanks.
Thank you. Next, we've got Martin. I'm sorry, Martin.
Pantic. Martin Pantic. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Martin?
I am owner at 525 East Anderson. And I would like to reiterate what Hans was saying, that this application states repairs of windows and sidings, but I can tell you that there are numerous other issues that need to be addressed and become code compliant as well. Obviously, I cannot speak to the interior of the home, but the exterior requires way more attention than just siding. There are plumbing issues, there are electrical issues, and so I feel like the application doesn't encompass all the work that really needs to be done to this property that's been vacant and abandoned for a better part of 3 years.
I understand and appreciate your frustration, but unfortunately, like things like mechanical and plumbing, really not in our purview. We're really focused on the outside.
Yeah, I'm speaking of plumbing issues that are visible to the exterior. I have images that I was unable to upload, but these are things that are going to be viewed in the future that need to be addressed. Whether it's wiring just haphazardly running on the exterior of the house or plumbing that's not properly secured. And I can go on and on about how just talking about siding, there are ceiling, portions of the ceiling that are detached that are most likely going to come off at some point. So I guess I'm certainly in favor of approval, but I didn't know if there was a way to ensure that the work does extend to beyond the application
request. I understand your frustration. I don't think we've got that ability, but hopefully by getting its approval and getting the process started, when inspectors come out, they'll pick up on other issues and the city will bring up those other issues.
Very good. Thank you. there's an exterior proposed stairwell that's supposed to be rebuilt to previous, which I don't even have images of the previous, but these are going to be viewed from not just the neighbors, but from the street. So again, I would hope that there would be some detailed drawings available to us to be able to see what this is going to look like.
Well, Caitlin, am I correct? Don't we have those drawings? And so we have those drawings, and I think we've got staff approval for what they want to bring back.
This is Caitlin. So I'm just going to show, this is a picture of the former staircase, which they just proposed to rebuild as it was. And they provided this information. I can even show you. And I confirmed with the applicant that they are putting the balusters back space 4 inches on center. In here, they're just wanting to go back with like what it was. And this is the picture we were given.
Thank you. Next I've got, let's see here. Oh, I guess I've got, Kathy, Pettit.
Kathy Pantic, resident at 525 East Anderson Street. I was just questioning what I might have already missed. So a concern was the stairs, what they were going to look like. And then also the piers under the house are like they're gone. So some of them are being held up by cinder blocks. Some is just like wire mesh. It's really those concerns. Like, I certainly am glad that they're finally taking a step towards making repairs to this house, because it truly is, it degrades everybody's property values, which obviously we're all, you know, somewhat selfish in that regard. But we are renovating a house, and we just want to ensure that things are done appropriately. It's not a Band-Aid stuck on there, and next year it's falling apart again. You know, because it's taken 3 years to get this far. So that's my concern.
I appreciate you and your other neighbors' concern. I think this hopefully will be a good faith attempt to start in that direction from the property owner. But unfortunately, we can't dictate beyond the scope of what came to us. But you might want to talk to code compliance.
Right. I guess the piers are one thing, because when our packet came up, that was like we had to show how we're repairing everything. So anyway, that's, if anything visible is, you know, I thought under your purview.
Board members, do we have any questions, comments for anyone? Sure.
Yeah. Hans again, 511 East Anderson. The city is welcome to come into my backyard for approval and see the flapping of the side of the, and see the big holes in the house from my backyard. My backyard it's in one of the pictures with the fence. That's me. And you can come in and see what's going on now, because I think no disrespect to any city worker that took pictures, but it's still visible from the alleyway. But if I open my gate, it's even more visible. So does this affect the value of everybody's house on Anderson? Yes. It looks messier than the abandoned house in the second house on my side is an abandoned house. I'm no disrespect to the beautiful city of Savannah, but we should not have abandoned houses in any historic district. I know it takes time and effort, but I'll take the house if you want me to. I would love the house for $50,000, and I'll fix it, not $500,000. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I do appreciate Amani taking the time to fix this house. I've asked for 3 years. I really do appreciate it, and I do think it will be good. But anyone who wants to see it, stop by my house at 511. You can just knock up. We have a bed and breakfast. We're usually there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this time, we are closed to public comment, and we'll go into board discussion. Pat?
Pat Richardson, I sympathize with what the neighbors are going through. We don't want abandoned houses in any neighborhood, not just the historic district. However, we have no control over code compliance, and we can only rule upon the ordinances that apply to this commission.
Pam Miller, I think that everybody's already said, you know, we're very limited in our scope is what we can do. I would assume you said you've called code compliance. They've come out there. They've looked at things. I can't imagine anybody wanting to build on something that may not be suitable to fix. So having said that, that's all I have to say.
Kathy Levina, I do have a little bit of concerns about the siding replacements. I think there is a lot more siding that they'll probably replace than what you realize. And so my concern is too much of the siding. I don't know who the contractor is or anything like that, but my concern is they're going to take all the siding down and we're going to, you know, be left without any historic siding. You can already see where the replacement side, some replacement siding was done inappropriately. So my concern is just about the amount. It doesn't say 20% of the siding or 40%. So I don't know if this is the first project that they've done. I don't know where your expertise. So I really think that staff needs to keep their eye on this project and maybe work with those owners during this first step, I assume, rehabilitation, just trying to secure that envelope and eliminate, I guess, some of the water intrusion and holes and other things that get inside.
Thank you. Courtney?
No additional comments.
Scott Krotzer, I would share the concerns of the rest of the commission and just stress the importance of repair over replace.
Thank you. Can we, can I get a motion from? Yeah, of course.
Kathy Levine, I just want to say one more thing. I'm looking at the plans for the stairwell and that's no way code compliant. So just so you know that you're going to have to, I do a lot more drawings to meet code and you need to get that done, I guess, probably, you know, obviously before you get that building permit. Cause that staircase, it's not going to, it could have been built like that, but it won't pass code today.
Thank you. Can I get a motion from somebody?
Courtney Bonney, I had one more comment. Kathy, if your concern was the scale or the amount of siding being replaced, then maybe a recommendation or a condition on if the scope and
siding and the window.
Yeah, if the scope changes that it needs to come back rather than.
We met with them and discussed this. That was one of the first things we went over is that, you know, the first line is to repair rather than replace, and they were amenable to that. And clearly there's some areas where there's no siding. So the intent is to just go, you know, back with, I mean, there's some areas like this. Some areas are probably plenty fine to stay as is. I think they just want to replace what needs it. And they provided what they're going to use.
How would you recommend?
I mean, if the scope of work right now is to inspect to repair versus replace, if it's looking like it's a more replacing, then that needs to probably come back. So, you know.
Can we have the microphone on, please?
Excuse me. Yes, Kathy Levina.
You can make a condition that if the scope expands to more replacement than repair, to contact staff before proceeding. I think we've done that before where we've said, you know, we'll come, we'll document, meet them on site, and kind of figure out what the next steps are and if they're coming back here or if, you know, they can actually maintain more of it.
Scott Crotzer, to be the devil's advocate, the windows as well.
Windows as well. Mm-hmm.
Should we designate a percentage? Pam Miller. Would that be better for everybody?
I think so. It could.
Okay. So then we need to discuss what that might look like.
Okay. Kathy, you want to come up with a motion?
Kathy Levina. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Amani Elisa, 507 East Anderson Street, 26-001008-COA, rehabilitation and alterations with the following condition, that if the replacement exceeds 30% on either the wood siding or window, that staff is to be contacted and the project reassessed because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Scott Crotzer, I second.
Okay, having a motion tendered and seconded, let's go ahead and go to a vote. We'll start with Scott.
Scott Crotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Nutrick, approve. Motion carries. Thank you. Let's go to the petition of AAPCO Southeast Inc. 26-000935COA, 17 East Park Avenue, rehabilitation and alterations.
Good afternoon. Jody Brown for 17 East Park Avenue. The applicant is proposing to repair the balconies located on the north side of the building of this property. The majority of the work entails scraping off loose paint, sanding, cleaning, and repainting exterior elements. More in-depth work involves installation of ceiling boards, replacement of guardrail, replacement of trim board, replacement of wood column, base and shoe mold, replacement of damaged wood beam sides and bottom, replacement of tongue and groove decking, replacement of crown trim and fascia, replacement of wood beam trim, replacement of molding and soffit, and removal of exterior light fixtures and outlet, and making a currently a skew column plum. The building itself was constructed in the Cuthbert Ward, and it's located on the southwest corner of Drayton Street and East Park Avenue. It's designed in the Italianate It's designed in the Italianate style and was constructed in 1886, and it is listed as a contributing resource to the historic district. As previously mentioned, the applicant is proposing to primarily repair and restore the existing wood elements such at the rear balconies. There are several areas where the wood elements have deteriorated beyond repair, and those will be replaced in kind. Staff is only concerned about the large amount of guardrail that is proposed for replacement, and that should believe they should reevaluate it for retention rather than repair rather than replacement. Based on that information, and there's some pictures of the deterioration, and these are their plans that are denoting everything. They were in your packets. And based on that, staff recommendation is to approve the proposed rehabilitation work at 17 East Park Avenue with the following condition to be approved by, review and approved by staff is to reevaluate the deterioration of the rear balcony guardrails for repair rather than replacement. Any pickets, balusters, or rails that can be repaired should be repaired rather than replaced. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from board? Okay, hearing none, thank you. Is the petitioner here?
It is off the top of my mind. I can't remember her name. It's APCO. If I was a better worker, yes. Where is the, oh, here, I can look it up. Marlena Criminger?
No one with the name online. Is there anyone representing 17 East Park Avenue? Please raise your hand. There's a feature. I do have someone now raising their hand. The name is Pete Zimmerman. Can you unmute yourself, Pete? Okay, do we? He's rejoining, I believe. Pete, can you unmute yourself, please?
Okay. Maybe that'll work.
Yes, we can hear you now.
All right. My apologies. Technology is not my forte.
State your name.
My name is Pete Zimmerman with APCO Southeast.
Thank you. Thank
you. The way that was described is accurate. I will say this with respect to the balusters. Those are in an extremely rough shape. The architect currently has us replacing those in like kind, same design and format, size, in all respects. Trying to salvage these things is going to be fairly problematic and labor intensive. So that's really my only comment to those. I'm sure the folks that have gone out there and taken some pictures might be able to vouch for that. But, you know, the balcony is in poor shape, and they're just trying to get this thing to the point where it's not only aesthetically pleasing but usable as well.
Thank you. Are there any questions from board members? Kathy?
Kathy Levina, are you going to stick with the same color pattern on the brackets and everything?
Yes, ma'am. As of right now, they have not said anything about a color change. Everything is supposed to be to match as close as possible as existing.
Thank you.
Any other questions from staff? Okay. Thank you very much. We have no public comments, so at this time we'll close this to board discussion. We'll go ahead and start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff recommendations.
Pam Miller, I just have a question. This is another one. I can't look at that wood and know anything. Should we start thinking about looking at percentages? I mean, I don't know what we're looking at. He just mentioned that he just wanted to replace it in kind, but how much really needs to be replaced? Are we talking 50%, 20%? I mean, it's hard for me to look at that and know. Any idea?
I think that is probably something that Caitlin and I will disagree on. I think any old historic house that you – sorry, this is Jody Brown again. I think any old historic house that you get into, you kind of don't know until you get into the throes of it. And so putting a limitation with percentages is kind of problematic, I think. That's my own personal opinion. I would say, you know, you've put forth – if it needs to be replaced in kind – you expect that the professional is doing that, is evaluating it for repair. And I think the bulk of what they have, they're doing repair. And they're doing, you know, spot replacement is necessary. And then once you get into it, you know, they make that determination, hey, we can't repair this. It's just shot. Cause sometimes you don't know until you tear it down and you don't want to this is not a quick process. So you're having them stop and come through this process, and they have something hanging because it hit the percentage limit.
Well, excuse me, but this is the whole reason why we have this commission, is to make sure that there isn't too much replaced. So it shouldn't be a haphazard thing for us to review how much needs to be replaced. Those balusters are not as bad as he just said. And the major reason he's giving for replacing them is the labor intensiveness that would it cause to repair them. That's not even in our purview.
That was my point.
I beg to differ on that one.
Bear in mind, I did make a recommendation with a condition that they reevaluate and it come back to staff. So I'm not saying have free will. It is something that I did want them to take another look at.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. But I think that we have to, in order for us to have some sort of control over this commission has to have some sort of, bar. Because there's been several of these that were on the consent agenda, maybe before your time, that were doing full replacement that came back and didn't replace any. So I think that's where this commission has gotten a little bit, concerned about the level of replacement, because I know that those balustrades, and if this is a recent picture, are not beyond repair. They're going to take some love, but they're not beyond repair. So I guess that's the only way that we feel there can be some sort of line to say, okay, now it needs to come back. Otherwise, it is loose. They can replace, or, it's left up to them. So I feel like that has to say, and we just sat in a meeting where we said we need to be specific and how much needs to be replaced. So.
Well, you want to put that in a motion, Scott?
Sorry.
You want to put that into a motion with a percentage?
Yeah. Scott Krotzer, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 17 East Park Avenue 26-000935 COA AAPCO Southeast Inc. Rehabilitation and Alterations with the following conditions: to reevaluate the deteriorated portion of the rear balcony guardrails for repair rather than replacement. If the replacement exceeds 30%, they need to come back in front of the commission for approval. Because otherwise, the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
This is Pam Miller. I second.
Okay, having a motion tendered and second, let's bring it to a vote. Let's go ahead and start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kathy Levin, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Jeff Notrick, approve. Motion carries. Thank you. Now let's go to the motion of Amicus Properties, Inc., 25-00-5239 COA, 215 West Anderson Street Rehabilitation and Alterations.
Sir, I'd like to request this item. Would it be possible to be heard later? Because the petitioner had informed us that he's potentially going to be late today. So,
Sure. Okay, we'll go ahead and skip over that one. And then, so let's go to the next one. The petition of Frank Blackshear, 26-000979 COA, 809 West 42nd Street, window replacements and carport replacement.
All right, good afternoon. This is Alexander Merced with the MPC, 809 West 42nd Street. So the applicant would like to replace all existing windows and repair the existing wooden carport. So just for a little bit of context, this is a residential building that was constructed in 1945 and is a non-contributing resource within the Kyler Brownsville district. It sits on a block with a mixture of contributing and non-contributing resources. So here are some pictures of the existing windows. You can see there are some that just aren't there anymore. There are some with damage to the frame. There's a mismatch. There's a couple different types of windows as well. So initially, the applicant proposed to replace the windows with vinyl. That was communicated that that was not permitted in the district. And so actually just as of yesterday, the applicant has confirmed that they will be going back with wood windows as opposed to the vinyl, which are permitted in the district. And then this is how the carport looked previously. And this is what is currently existing on the house. It appears that obviously the existing carport has already been altered from the previous form, and the applicant has stated that most of it's been rebuilt, but it was never fully demolished. And also the applicant expressed to me that much of that work, all that work was done prior to his being brought on to the project, and it was being done without permits before there was a stop work order issued. That's not something that I can speak to just in terms of how it happened with too much detail. So I'm going to allow the applicant to speak more to that. With all that being said, my original recommendation was to continue the application until next month's meeting in order to allow the applicant more time to provide the necessary information, including window material with specs and details about the carport alterations. However, in light of the applicants confirming that they will be going in with wood windows as opposed to vinyl, if the applicant's explanation of the carport is sufficient to the board, then we could also support approval if that's the direction that you care to go in. So thank you very much, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
The question on the carport, do we have any sort of structural report or concerns about structural integrity?
That I have not gotten any information on. That's something that I'll allow the applicant to talk about.
Thank you.
Kathy Lidbiner, question.
Yes.
Are they going, what's the window pattern that they're using?
The window pattern, they are planning on going back with the, because all the windows are already existing. So from what I understand, they'll be going in with the same window patterns that are already on the house.
Two over one. I mean, there are a couple of different ones. That's what I was wondering. One over one. I don't know.
And I can certain.
I'll ask.
Two over one.
Two over
from
one.
From what I hear, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions we got of staff?
Courtney Bonney, I had a question. So it lists here in the standards that accessory structures, including carports, are supposed to be in the rear of the yard. Can we confirm that?
That's for new accessory structures. This one was already existed before. So it's not a brand new carport, meaning it already existed before. Now I'd assume, actually, I believe in the in Google Street View, if you'd want me to bring it up, I believe you can see that it was there before Kyler Brownsville was designated as a historic district.
There's that one picture.
Yeah, here, I can bring that up if you'd like. MSN. Okay. I believe Kyler Brownsville was added as a historic district in 2019, if I'm not mistaken. And so this was previously there.
I like the shutters.
Any further questions for me?
Okay. Thank you very much. Can we hear from the petitioner, please?
Yes.
Good day, staff, board, Stan Perkins, Mr. Blackshear. So on this particular project, when I was called in just to help out, I'm just knowing someone that helps out for this particular presentation. They had the owner, Mr. Blackshear, had a handyman working on it. The city went out to stop, put a stop work order on it. So they called in Mr. Aaron Fox, a local contractor, to help out. And he called me in to take care of this part of the application. So the existing is there. The work that you see there was already done. Mr. Fox did dig down into the foundation and confirmed that it was adequate. He's spoken with the city. So upon this approval, then he'll proceed with getting this building permit. So I'm just kind of here to help out. I'm that guy that helps people out kind of pro bono. So, and by the way, Ms. Levine, I don't know if I've ever been, have seen you with your hair down. Yeah, it's a good look. Miss Richards and Miss Mallory Scott is fine.
Thank you. Do we,
any questions?
Yeah, I have some concerns about the structural integrity of the, I guess the shed overhang from the building.
Yes, sir.
Have you got any reports or anything you can speak to about that?
Run that by me again, Mr. Matrika?
I'm concerned about, if it's, I don't see any joist hangers. I don't really see how it's tied into the house. Do we have any concerns?
Well,
about
upon
it?
The initial inspection, when I went out with Mr. Fox, it does have a ledger board back there and it seems to be connected. It's got the hangers on it. Everything at this point seems to be okay. Of course, he's going to finalize it based on code and getting a proper building permit, and that way they'll have the inspectors go out and confirm that it's all done correctly as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
Capital Advisement, is this the final shape of the carport, or is there any skirting board that's going to?
Yes, ma'am. Of course.
What are we?
Of course, when they put that, when they're going to trim it out, but when they put that stop work order,
yeah,
they stop work.
But we don't know what the final design is going to be. This is,
and this is going to be it, I think, other than maybe underneath just paint. I think he's just going to put some trim around it. On the outside, maybe a coat of paint or stain. That's kind of going to be it. New shingles on the top, things of that nature.
All right. So it's not going to be, a 90-degree horizontal board or anything like that.
No, ma'am. It's just going to kind of keep that shade,
like
shed type. 312 pitch or whatever the original had. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any additional questions? Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
We have one member of the public, Kaylee Johnson, that would like to speak.
Hello, my name is Kaylee Johnson. I'm the Director of Preservation for the Historic Savannah Foundation. When we originally reviewed this, our Architectural Review Committee was unable to determine the appropriateness of this proposal, as we felt it didn't provide sufficient information. And we definitely appreciate that there was more information added. We appreciate the wood windows. We want to note that applications put on the agenda often lack the required information needed to properly evaluate them. And we did agree with the, I guess, former staff recommendation to continue the application until there's enough information to make a decision. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we will close public comment and go into board discussion. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson. Who's going to be monitoring the, make sure that the all the windows are compliant and everything? Will staff take that over now?
I believe monitoring work that is done would be code compliance, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Code compliance. So if we
know what that company you're coming from.
I did put the specs for the new wood windows, Akoya wood, it's called. But in terms of actually checking the work that's been done, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, sorry, this is Caitlin. Sorry to interrupt you. Typically, we would be doing an inspection
when the work is completed. And usually when a permit is necessary, they're not going to get it fully released until the COA inspection is also signed off on. So no, you know, we're not tasked with going out on site and watching the work happen, but we do, ensure that the work was done as it was approved to be done.
But we don't, in the interim, we don't need any type of window scheduling or anything like that.
I mean, we should be getting that kind of information. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Miller, no comment.
Kathy Levine, I've got concern about the carports. It looks as if they did, in fact, replace what was existing just in wood form. But what was existing should never have been built. So my understanding is once you take that carport down, then you have to come back to the board to ask for permission to put a new carport up. They didn't do that. And this carport does not relate to this house at all, except that it is in liking of what was once there. I just think that the carport needs to be designed, that we need to have finished details that give the carport sort of as an extension to the house, not something that wasn't thought out, and it's no longer a comprehensive design with that house. The carport needs to be reconfigured to, again, be an extension of the house and not just an add-on. Improve the house, not detract from it.
Courtney Bonnie, yeah, I would concur that this is essentially a demolition that they've gone back and completely replaced. So I feel like it needs to be continued and come back as, you know, with the appropriate drawings of how they plan on finishing and trimming the rest of the structure out. And again, ensuring, you know, that it's meeting necessary structural compliance issues and that sort of thing. So I think this one I agree with staff recommendation, it needs to be continued.
Scott Krautzer, I agree with staff.
Thank you. Can I get a motion, please?
Scott Krautzer, I motion to continue. Oh, sorry. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of Frank Blackshear, 809 West 42nd Street, 26-000979-COA, windows and carport replacement, until what's the next? April 22nd, because, the carport needs to go through a design review and we need a schedule of windows.
Pat Richardson, second.
Having motion tendered second, we'll go ahead and go to a vote. We'll start with Scott.
Scott Krautzer, approve.
Courtney Bonnie, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approve. Motion carries. Thank you. Now we've got the petition of Da Vinci Custom Home Builders, LLC, Glenn Burnside, 26-000-466-COA, 613 West 39th Street, rehabilitation and alterations.
Good afternoon, Jody Brown again for 613 West 39th Street. The applicant is requesting to replace the damaged wood siding, approximately 100 square feet, replace the non-historic T111 siding at the front porch support beam, repair the trim, sill, bottom, and of sash of a rear window, and scrape and paint the exterior. This particular project property is located on the south side of the road, mid-block. It's in the Stiles Ward, and it was constructed in 1915, and it's listed as a contributing resource in the historic district. The bulk of the work, as noted, involves repair of existing materials. As I mentioned, the applicant intends to replace approximately 100 square feet of siding in kind and repair a rear window. The window requires attention at the sill, trim, and bottom sash. They are also proposing to remove the non-historic T111 siding at the front porch and install a recessed wood panel. You can see here on the left, the non-historic T111 siding, and then this on the right is what they are proposing. The proposed new panels are innocuous and do not negatively impact the historic character. Similar houses on the street have a flat panel kind of beam that is like what is proposed, so there is also historic context. And then the proposed work that they are doing to the rear window and the siding is consistent with the standards. And I breezed by it, but here's some general pictures. You can see where the siding is missing and where it's damaged. And based on that, staff has a recommendation to approve the rehabilitation alterations for the work at the house located at 613 West 39th Street as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Kathy Lipana, are they keeping the door?
Yeah, there was no work for the door.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from board members? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner, please?
Glenn Burnseed. Is he online?
Yeah.
And he's, I don't see him here.
Okay, so petitioners are here. That's fine. We have no public comment cards, so we will close this to discussion and go into board deliberations. Let's start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, I agree with staff recommendations.
Pat Miller, I agree with staff recommendations.
Just one more question to staff. Are they keeping the turn posts on the second floor and that railing?
There's
nothing. That's all they're doing.
What I said is what they're doing. They're keeping it pretty limited.
I'm taking the project further. Okay, thank you. I agree with staff.
Courtney Bonney, no additional comments.
I'm Scott Krotzer. I agree with staff. And if the percentage isn't good, we could use square footage. That would also work, because that's what they're doing here, you know. So if that feels a little bit more palatable maybe than the percentage. But I appreciate this one because it's clear, you know. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Excellent. Thank you. Can I get a motion, please?
Kathy Lidvarna. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of DaVinci Custom Home Builders LLC, 613 West 39th Street, 26-000466-COA, rehabilitation and alterations as submitted, because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Scott Krotzer, I second.
Thank you. Having a motion tendered and seconded, let's go ahead and go to a vote, and we will start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kathy Lidvarna, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Jeff Natrika, approve. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Now we're going to the petition of Array Design, Shauna Kuchera, 26-000464, COA 625 West 36th Street, rehabilitation alterations and addition.
Jody Brown again for 625 West 36th Street. So the applicant is proposing to remove the non-historic brick asphalt veneer, repair the wood siding, remove the dilapidated one-story portion at the rear, and construct a new two-story addition, repair the window frames and trim, and replace the front porch balustrade. This project was originally heard at the February 25th, 2026 HBC meeting, and the item was continued to allow the applicant to do three things. The applicant to address the scale of the proposed addition. In response to that, the applicant reduced the addition to measure 25 feet 2.5 inches by 16 feet 10.5 inches. It'll be located 3 feet from the west property line, 10 feet 2 inches from the east property line, and 21 feet from the rear property line. The second thing that the applicant was asked to do is to reevaluate Sorry, that's a problem today. Reevaluate the roof plane for the of the proposed addition. For this one, the applicant took a second look at the roof plane for the proposed addition and reevaluated reducing the overall height. A redesign would lower the roof and create a problem with drainage. The roof would die into the siding, allowing water to drain off the roof and into the siding, which would expedite its deterioration. At the southeast corner, the lowering roof would accelerate deterioration of historic window on the second floor that is being preserved. Given the issue with lowering the roof, the applicant maintained its current height. In its current configuration, staff maintains that the addition is subordinate to the historic structure and consistent with the standards. And then the final item that the applicant was asked was to maintain the second floor window at the southeast corner. And the applicant has redesigned the addition to preserve the window there, and you can see it right there highlighted in a nice aquamarine color. Based on this information, staff recommends approval to request the request to rehabilitate and construction addition at the property at 625 West 36th Street as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, thank you. Is the petitioner here?
Yes, she is.
Thank you, Jody. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and the board. My name is Shauna Casera. I am the architect working on this project, and I think Jody went through the revisions pretty clearly. I'd like to add that I am suggesting a 7-inch exposure on the hardy siding on the new addition. The 4.5 historic siding and the 7-inch exposure of the new will help to delineate new from old. As Jody mentioned, that window on the second floor is being maintained, so the entire addition shrunk in size. In order to maintain that and the casing around it and a little bit of siding in the corner there so it doesn't look smashed in. Our lot coverage is still at 48.8, so we are well within the zoning regulations and the historic district guidelines. And I'm here to answer any questions.
Any questions from board? Nope. Thank you, Shauna.
Thank you.
We will go ahead. We have no public comments, so we'll go into board discussion. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Kathy Levine, no comment. Thank you for the window.
Courtney Bonney, I just wanted to congratulate you and appreciate the work in revising the plans to address comments that we made last meeting. And I think this is a lovely addition and appreciate it.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with Courtney. Thank you for being amenable to the revisions.
Great. Thank you very much. At this point, can I get a motion?
Scott Krotzer, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Array Design, 625 West 36th Street, 26-000464 COA, rehabilitation and addition as submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Pat Richardson, second.
Thank you. Having a motion tendered and second, we'll go ahead and go to a vote. Let's start with Scott.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Notarico, approve. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to the petition of Ethos Preservation, Kim Cantrell, 26-000914-COA, 816 West 42nd and a half street. New construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Thank you, Jody Brown again. The Jody show for a while. 815 and a half, West 42nd Street. So the applicant is proposing to construct a new single-family home for affordable housing. This is a part one and two review. Located mid-block on the south side of the road, the property is in the Can Ward. The lot is vacant and sits between two-story buildings. The building to the east, 815, was constructed in 1930, and the building to the west, 817, was constructed in 1950. Both buildings feature a low-sloped hipped roof, wood lap siding, and vertical sliding windows. The proposed project is consistent with the surrounding homes. The immediate vicinity is a mix of one- and two-story houses that feature hip and gable roofs. The surrounding homes also have a mix of exterior materials that include brick, siding, and stucco. The proposed house will have a similar character and use of materials, maintaining the historic character of the area. Additionally, homes are spaced fairly close together. The proposed house will be situated between two homes with a minimal setback consistent with the street. The building at 815 is 31 feet 6 inches in height, and the building at 817 is 25 feet 8 inches in height, and the proposed building will be 30 feet and 5 inches, which is between its two neighbors. Historic homes typically have a fair amount of natural light, which is provided by numerous windows. There are a number of windows placed sporadically on each of the facades, with the exception of the west facade, which only has one. And you can see it here on the right. This facade does not have the solid void pattern typical on historic buildings. Additional windows should be added to this facade. This house was designed with a full width projecting porch consistent with surrounding properties. The porch is 6 feet deep with a hip roof, and the porch will be constructed of wood and supported by four simple wood posts. And the foundation will be 24 inches high, which is based on the average of three contributing buildings within the immediate vicinities. Those are 30 inches, 24 inches, and 12 inches. So the proposed house is consistent with the historic district design standards. And the applicant is proposing to use a fiber cement siding on the exterior of the house in a horizontal manner. And the proposed windows will be Marvin Ultimate Wood aluminum clad 1/1 windows. The applicant is also proposing to install a wood perimeter fence that would start at the corners of the house and circle the rear yard, making it consistent with the standards. And here are the other facades of the house. And based on this information, staff recommends approve the request to construct a new residence at 815 and a half West 42nd Street, with the following conditions to be reviewed and approved by staff prior to starting the work, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. Number one, add two additional windows to the west, aka right facade of the house, to be more consistent with contributing properties in the immediate vicinity. And two, add and provide details on exterior lighting as necessary. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Levine, a quick question. Are the steps connected to the sidewalk?
That is a question that I will let the applicant answer. Typically, it is hardscape, and we don't review the hardscape.
Is the condition that the steps are connected to the sidewalk, correct?
I will let the applicant address that when she comes up.
Any other questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, is the petitioner here?
She is. I was just pulling up here.
It's the last item, I think.
Hey, good afternoon. Kim Campbell with Ethos Preservation. First, we'll start with your question, Kathy. So I don't believe the steps land exactly, but yes, it's one of the development standards that hardscape has to connect it. So yeah, there'll be a little concrete pad just to connect it to the sidewalk there. The other thing I want to address today is just the visibility of this west side, and I apologize if I cough, the allergies are rough this time of year. So this is a view of the property from actually across the street, a perspective we did. So you can see that the west elevation, here we have the 6-foot privacy fence that runs here. It does not run in between the properties because there's not 5 feet off the either two. This is a very narrow lot. And this is actually a large specimen tree. I don't know the exact diameter, but it is greater than I believe it is the 24 inches of the city requires. And I'm happy to pull that up on Street View. What that means is this is not just a tree on a neighboring property that anyone can take down at any time. It has to be permitted. I raise all this to your attention because the intent of the window and shutter standards is to ensure that they reinforce a sense of rhythm and continuity in architecture and enhance pedestrian activity at the street level. We could put two windows into the side of this house over at the kitchen. They would not be visible. It doesn't enhance anything, but it does raise the cost on an affordable housing project. If you stand, you can see here the architect has put in for me where the location of the sidewalk is at. When you're standing there, you can't see anything of this facade when you see it. So it's just simply not visible. And so this standard specifically states all residential facades visible from the street shall incorporate transparent features. This is not a residential facade visible from the street here. So we would ask for the approval of the petition with the condition that we provide the lighting standards, which we've already sent to staff and are happy to send that information from them. And I'm happy to answer any other questions at this time.
Captain Levine, one more question. On the 3D image, it looks as if the upper window is aligned with the doorway. However, in the plan, it shows that the window is not aligned with the doorway on the second floor. Can you address that?
Yes. So this is Kim Campbell again. The plan is the correct thing to look for the exact placement of windows. The point of this particular drawing is just to show you the view from a pedestrian from across the street of that west elevation, not the location on the facade.
All right. Thank you.
I just have a quick question, Pam Miller. If that tree is gone, can you see the side of the house?
You can see the upper story of it. But again, that tree is not a tree that someone can just take down. That is a permanent tree.
I guess we have hurricanes, and I've seen too many come down, big trees. So, I mean, if that would affect that, if the tree was out of the picture, we still wouldn't see.
Correct. But we also don't review based on if a building comes down, would we be able to see that? It's what is visible at this moment is the reading of the ordinance. And at this moment, this is not visible.
Okay. Any other questions from board members? Thank you. We have no public comments, so we'll close this to board discussions, and we will start with Pat.
I understand the visibility standpoint of it, but when we start looking at windows and what's considered healthy livable lighting, I mean, is that something this board can take into consideration? Okay.
Pam Miller, you answered my question. Thank you.
Kathy Levina, I agree. We've had this discussion before about transparency. It's not just about transparency. It's about light, air. There's a lot of things that windows provide that's not just about transparency. So I do agree with staff about transparency. I do have concerns that that window on the second floor on the main facade is not aligned with the door underneath. I think it gives an alignment would create a more balanced front facade. Typically second story windows are aligned with the door below it. Again, it's just a more traditional design. Connecting the steps to the sidewalk, and I guess those are my concerns. Thank you.
Courtney Bonney, I can understand kind of some of the comments. I will note that in the floor plan, it does look like that, you know, on that right side there, that facade in question is a stairwell. So, you know, the back kitchen has an additional window in there. So it is getting light in from other openings within the building. So, you know, I do think that it would be appropriate to approve it without the condition if the lighting standards are included. But I could see either way.
Scott Crosser, no further comment.
Thank you. Can I get a motion?
Pat Richardson, one more comment.
Okay.
I do know that we can't rule on the healthy livable lighting, but it does intersect with the design quality and the livability and compatibility. So I would like to keep that into consideration.
Thank you. Can I get a motion?
Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, of course. My apologies.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Ken Campbell. I forgot to mention too, not pictured here, but if we can pull up street view, windows in the front there would look into the adjacent property. So I apologize. I forgot to mention too, that was one of, this house is occupied. The house to the east is not. So that was part of a concern as well for the neighbors in this development. So speaking of livability, I apologize again. I forgot that, but that reminds me they're actually not interested in someone looking directly into their house there. And again, we can't put a fence because both properties are closer than 5 feet. So that's another reason to push it further back.
Kathy Levina.
Oh boy.
I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of.
I apologize. One more note. We would ask for a continuance rather than approval with the windows because we need to revisit this design. So if you're going to put a two window condition, we would prefer a continuance.
Okay. Thank you. That helps out. Kathy Levina. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of. Can't see it. Here it is. Petition of Ethos Preservation 26-000914-COA815 and a half West 42nd Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2 to readdress the addition of windows as well as the alignment of the second floor window until next, Kim?
422. Kim?
90 days.
The next 90 days?
Yeah, but at least 90, yeah.
90 days? Ooh, help me out. Until June 24th.
Pat Richardson,
could we maybe evaluate also the possibility of a staff review of the revisions for approval? I mean, just, I guess that would depend on Ethos if they were not wanting to wait 90 days on a.
So we would request a continuance for up to 90 days. We might come back sooner with that. That gives us time to work through the design there. We are not interested in a condition right now with the two windows being required because we may come back to this board and ask for you for a special exception because of the circumstances surrounding looking into a neighbor's house, it being affordable housing, it not actually being visible there. So that's why we would prefer just to come back to you. It would likely be next month, but we would like the time just in case.
Okay, do we have a second?
Pat Richardson, second.
Having a motion tendered and second, we'll go ahead and bring it to a vote. We'll start with Scott.
Scott Crotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Kathy Levina, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Nutrika, approve. Motion carries. Thank you. Now we got the petition of Vardin Kasman, 26-000936-COA. 1021-23 West 36th Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Thank you, Jody Brown again, presenting 1021, 1023 West 36th Street. The applicant is proposing to construct a two-story duplex on two vacant lots. Located mid-block on the east side of the street, the lots are located within the Battery Ward. Historically, there were two individual one-story single-family homes at this location. Extant homes on the street are all one-story. They are either single-family duplexes or row houses. Homes that front on the street have a fairly uniform setback, and the street features a slight slope. Across the street from the proposed construction are vacant lots and a single-story church. Within the district, there are, as overall, there are one two-story buildings predominantly on narrow lots. A similar project was heard by the Historic Preservation Commission in August, September, and October of last year. It was ultimately denied on 10/22/2025. As noted, the applicant is proposing to construct a two-story building over two lots. It is not clear, however, if the lots have been combined. They still show up in the system as two lots. The applicant is proposing to use vertical engineered wood siding that has the appearance of T111 siding, aluminum clad double hung windows from Colby & Colby, and an asphalt shingle roof. The front porch will feature treated lumber for the balcony and deck and a wood railing, and the majority of the exterior materials are consistent with the surrounding homes. The applicant has designed the duplex to have a smaller second floor with an inset at the northwest, and east facades. The exterior wall of the first floor of the front room will stand proud of the second floor balcony, and the open front porch will extend out from the front. So to explain that better, this is the second floor, and this is habitable space right here. And then the front porch extends further out from there. Surrounding contributing properties feature either a shed or a hip roof at the exterior facade, with the wall plane extending in line above the front porch. So basically, they have the same wall plane, and then the porch is tacked on to the exterior, which is commonly what you see. Homes in the immediate vicinity are one story and is noted located on narrow lots, typically 24 feet by 100, creating long, low residences. The proposed construction will interrupt the distinctive mass and scale of the area with an overly wide residence. Among the items that are consistent with the code, staff finds that the project has a similar front setback with other properties, and is also consistent with the existing spacing between the buildings, and the solid void pattern consistent with other contributing properties. It also features a full width porch as noted, and the applicant is using the appropriate windows that have been previously approved. However, information on the minute details is missing and is not consistent with the code, such as mutton width, door design, exterior lighting, foundation specifics, etc. Staff does, based on all of this information, staff recommends denial for the new construction at 1021-1023 West 36th Street. While some of the proposed materials and detail meet the applicable Kyler-Brownville Historic District design standards for new construction, the overall building scale and massing remain visually incompatible with the contributing context. The double lot width creates a continuous facade that contrasts sharply with the established rhythm, proportion, and spacing of adjacent single lot residences. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
This is Pam Miller. Before we even get into all the massing and all of that, which I'll let somebody else handle, I have a question. You say that the lots aren't even combined. So how can we?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. They show up when I'm looking at, Sages and stuff like that. They show up as two lots
and they haven't been combined. But how could we even consider something if they're not already combined? Because each lot would separately have their own, would require variances or setbacks or whatever, correct?
Pat Richardson, I believe this is TR1, and isn't that one principal lot per lot. One principal building per lot?
Sorry, Rohan, who worked on this last year, just is nodding his head, and he has confirmed that it was one lot. It is one lot now.
It's one just, combined.
Yeah, it's been combined. It does, sometimes it takes Sages and stuff, which is why I was not clear on that, but Sages is sometimes slow to catch up, I think, when it comes to getting information from the county and showing it as combined.
What do we know what it's zoned?
It's zoned the same zoning, TR1.
Somebody that has more code experience, isn't that one home, one lot?
It is one lot now. Pat Richardson just confirmed that it is one lot, and TR1 is one principal dwelling per lot.
Pamela, I think I'm just a little confused. So is this one dwelling or two?
It's a duplex. It's one
dwelling.
Building.
One, right.
But it's a duplex. Yes.
Kathy LeBrenner, Judy, are they allowed to combine lots in Carla Brownville and just not the other historic districts? I can't remember.
I think the recombinations do happen, but the only ones that get reviewed by a historic board is the ones downtown. They go to HDBR, but other recombinations or subdivisions we don't see in the other districts.
We don't see.
It goes to the development services side.
So they are allowed to recombine lots there. Okay. Thank you.
Do we have another question for staff? Yeah.
Are we on board discussion?
If we don't have questions for staff, can we hear from the petitioner? I believe they're online.
Bardem starts with a K. Kessium.
Okay, I believe I did. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, it's going to be Nick Sinanian online. And he's saying he's representing the SEC development. Okay. Can you unmute yourself, Nick?
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good.
My name is Armin. I worked on this project when we started it. Nick currently is not in the office right now, so
I'm having difficulty hearing you. Please.
Can you hear me better?
Loud.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you, but your voice is like a little low here. Can you speak up loud, please?
Yes, sir. So I started working on this project last year. At some point, Nick continued working on it. So I'm pretty up to date on the project. I was participating in the first couple of meetings too. Before we started the project, before even our client bought the property, I talked to the planning department of the city of Savannah, and per their knowledge, this was a single lot that allowed us to have a duplex on it with over and under building, basically having one unit on the first floor and second unit on the second floor. At first, they didn't even let us know that there is a historic committee and we need to pass through a historic committee. So we tried our best to match the design with the planning codes, and all the building, any setback issues, any heights, any design, is okay with the planning development standards, with the codes. The height of the building is big because it's a two-story. There are multiple lots next to it, but all the buildings on other lots are one-story, and they are narrow. This building is a two-story on a bigger lot than the other big buildings are. So that's why this building is bigger than the other ones. Foundation and framing issues are something that we will discuss when the building goes to the building department. We will provide all the necessary documentation, but as long as we are still in the planning and we don't know if the building is approved by the way it is, we're not going to do any foundation plus. We weren't required to do that. If the city requires us, we can do that. That's not a problem. So we made changes. We made the second story setback more than it was previously. We made the front of the second story go back even more, as you can see in the elevations from previous and the new ones. We try to match it as much as we can. We talk to the planning. Planning helped us during this process, but honestly, I don't understand why planning said that they are not trying to approve the project. They are trying to deny it, but planning isn't talking to us much either. So for the next time, I'd like to speak to planning, get their approval first, and understand if it will be approved or there is something going to approval or not before going to you guys. Because every time we come to you, planning says, oh yeah, it's okay, it's good, it's better. But the day of the meeting, planning sends us the letter that says we are denying the project, without any explanation prior to it. So one thing is that during the previous meetings, every time the staff starts asking questions and nobody lets us speak. So this time I hope that when staff asks questions, we can answer those. The next question I have is, what is the solution to this? Is there a way to get the two-story building approved here or no? Should we continue this or no? Please be clear with it. We're legally matching all the codes. This is allowed here. We are lower than the height limit here. And I don't understand what is the issue with the height and mass and the size of the building. We're passing all the codes. Please let me know. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there any questions from board members? So let me ask you this. Is it possible that do we need to continue this, that he can fix this, or do his questions about is two-story even allowed? What do you think?
It's your prerogative to continue. Sorry, this is Jody Brown again. It's your prerogative to continue it if you'd like. Two-story is allowed in the district. There is – it's not just the code to answer their questions. It's not just the regular building code. There is the ordinance associated with Kyler Brownville that speaks to matching the historic context and, you know, designing materials, designing with materials that is appropriate to the district. So, you know, if you would like to continue it, you're welcome to continue it. You know, it is something that probably consistent with the previous applicant needs a longer period of time for a redesign, I would think. That's just my personal opinion.
Scott Kratzer, I have a question. Is he being amicable to the design suggestions? Because that seems to be what we're missing, right? Like, we're not getting the design elements out of the project. Like, he's hitting all of the markers when it comes to the ordinance, but what he's not understanding is, like, the visual compatibility. Is he...
Well, even based on the Courtney Bonnie, even based on the staff report, there's still issues with meeting the standards for the Kyler Brownville ordinance. So there's right. A lot of things in here that the details aren't provided. They're not meeting the standards for the district beyond the zoning zoning and planning requirements. So, I mean, as it's drawn now, there's no way to approve this because it doesn't meet any of the standards outside of the design issues. So, you know, I think that's a pretty big roadblock.
Pat Richardson, because they've been allowed to combine two lots. Mm-hmm. Now the issue is the sizing and the spacing and the rhythm. It's going to go against everything else. Yes.
Can I speak? Hello?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. So, first of all, about the materials and stuff, in the specification and material sheets that were provided to planning for the last three reviews, all the materials with the companies are mentioned. Windows, doors, wood siding, everything, shingle. And now every time during these meetings, we're being told that nothing is shown. Every time during these meetings, there are some codes added. Nobody talks to us about the specific ordinance. I just saw it I saw some findings in the staff report. It wasn't mentioned before. When we bought the property was a single lot. And that's it. And we're not going to deal with it. We're not going to go back. I don't know how it works there, but there is no way we're going to go and divide the lot again because we buy it the way it was. And when we talked to the planning said there is no way you can make a building on a single lot. It's going to be on both lots. And now the issue is that planning department is not going forward with us. Rohan is not going forward with discussing the project before these meetings. Every time we're talking to him saying, hey, let's go back and forth. Let's get this approved, some kind of, let's get some feedback from you guys so we can get a better project to the staff, to the historic staff. And every time we don't do it. Even right now, you say it's not meeting code, but we don't know what code are you talking about, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Can I address some of that?
Yes, please.
So he is correct that they do have a number of items in their packet that address the windows, that address the siding, that address the asphalt shingles that they're putting on there. But what they're missing is the minute details. So they're not speaking to it's they're showing up on the plans as divided light. Well, are the muttons, you know, 7/8 inch or less? I don't know what the mutton width is. The siding that they're proposing is has the appearance, as I mentioned, of T111 siding, which actually is in the Kyler Brownville ordinance, part of the City of Savannah code, that T111 siding is prohibited. So it's they have information, they don't have all of the information. It's those little details that they're missing. He was talking about addressing the foundation when it comes to, you know, the building plans. But in reality, if you recall from our last applicant, she took the average of three contributing properties to understand what the height of the foundation should be, which is how it's spelled out. Looking to your contributing properties to understand the height of what your foundation should be, your raised foundation. That information is missing. I don't know what the infill is in the foundation. It looks like it's going to have piers, but there's no information. So those are the little minute details that I'm talking about, the specifications that are missing. Rohan was the person who was working on this last year, and he was supposed to be in India. But unbeknownst to him, a war happened and he couldn't go to India. And in that time, it was assigned to me. So I did the review. I referenced Rohan's previous staff report. And if you look back, you'll notice that our recommendations, his last one in October, are pretty darn similar. It is a mass and scale and proportionality issue that is the overarching elephant in the room. That's totally not the right cliche, but you get my drift.
Yes.
And that is continued to be conveyed in my staff report. That's a mass and scale and proportionality. And I'm not saying that you can't do a two-story building in there. There are two-story buildings in the district. On this particular street, it's all one story, but you could do two-story buildings in the district. It's a matter of how you design it and how it presents itself to the street. And that is what should be consistent with what is present in the district. You're looking for your historic context, and that is the historic context that you want to reference.
Thank you, Pat Richardson. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Based upon what I've seen and doing a site visit, this would look like a mansion and everything else look like cottages, you know. So I am concerned about the size, the massing.
This is Pam Miller. I just have kind of a question for staff, but also the applicant, in that where I sit today, it'd be a denial or a long continuation. But I don't know, as far as I know, you're talking about there's a lot of details that need to come up. Is there any preference? I mean, to continue it versus deny it. So to the applicant, would you rather continue it or have us deny it today?
Well, Pam, the other question I've got is it seems like we've continued this and there's no response from the applicant to modify this.
Can you
hear us? Keeping with their comments. So I think.
I'm here.
I don't know how we get beyond just denying this and being done. Yes, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So let me go by the points I wrote down. For about the minute details and all the elements that need more information, I would like to talk to planning and them to tell us that prior to the meeting so we can provide those during the process of plan check, not just to tell us that during the meeting that those are missing. The piers and foundations are shown on the plans. We're proposing 2 feet high piers, and the building's first floor is 2 feet high, which is visible on the plans. I'm talking about the details, the depth of the foundation and stuff like that is for engineer to decide. We're not going to go to engineering before getting approval from you guys. That's nonsense. That doesn't happen anywhere else. So my question is, if you guys are going to approve two-story, is there a way to approve two-story here?
I think the short answer is I think you can do two stories, but I think the problem is there's a massing and a compatibility issue that is going to need to be the hurdle that we don't seem to be connecting on. Do you have someone helping you with this, like an architect or something?
We are architectural team. ACC Development is an architectural firm that works in California, though, with a lot of projects in historic districts and anywhere in USA. But this is the first time we're dealing with Savannah, Georgia Historic Preservation Committee. And maybe there are some issues with communication too. But first of all, we decided to do duplex next to each other, which we were not let to do, saying that the code doesn't let us do that. So we have to do only the building with a story down on a unit on the first floor and the unit on the second floor. This is why we are here now. And there is no other way to do this. If we are having a second story, building is going to go more than 20, 23 feet high. There is no other way. If you are trying to keep the roof design the same as the other buildings, that's another 5 to 6 feet added. There is no way to do two-story design and keep that height, lower height, narrow building. There is no way to do that. If we do a building,
thank you.
Sir,
this is Pam Miller again. Back to my question, would you prefer a long continuance or a denial?
We're going to continue it, but as you said, okay. If there is a way to approve this project, we will continue to work on it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We have one public comment card from Kaylee Johnson.
Oh, did it work?
Okay. Hi, Kaylee Johnson with the Historic Savannah Foundation. HSF finds that this design for new construction requires significant restudying, as the proposed design does not fit in with the architectural context of the rest of the block. The scale and facade composition are inconsistent with the surrounding historic buildings. We recommend that the applicant redesign the building using the Craftsman or American Foursquare styles as a guide. All in all, the revised design should demonstrate clear visual compatibility with the surrounding historic structures. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, this time we are closed to public comment or going into board discussion. Let's start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, no further comments.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Kathy LeBron, no comment. Courtney Bonney, I think that just for the applicant to kind of understand the roadblocks that I think the board is kind of looking at, this is going to require significant redesign. And I think the public comment from HSF is pretty helpful in that, doing some analysis of the surrounding two-story buildings to use as a model in the Cuyler-Brownville area will really help in terms of understanding the issues with the scale and massing of this particular structure. I also think an issue, that we're running into is that it feels like it was designed only in plan, right? Without any real understanding of what that does to the visual appearance of the exterior of the building, right? So, none of the windows and doors are aligning. There's no symmetry. It's just very kind of haphazard looking. So, from an architectural standpoint, this needs to be reevaluated in a way that, when this comes back, it needs to have been restudied pretty significantly rather than kind of minor revisions. In addition to a review of the staff report and the specific plan details and construction drawing details that are missing from the report so that we can ensure that it's in compliance with the Cuyler-Brownville design standards. So, not just the City of Savannah planning standards, but that it's taking that one additional step and meeting that additional regulatory standard overlay, yes. So, you know, just trying to provide some more specific detail and understanding so that we can accurately move forward with the project.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with Courtney. No further comment.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a motion, please?
I guess I have another question for everyone. Because of the amount, this is Pam Miller, the amount of redesign that's necessary and how much is going to have to be done between looking at the Kyler Brownsville overlay, looking at the design standards and changing all of that, would it not be better then to deny and let them come in with the whole new? I mean, would that be the, or I'm just wondering how long it would take to go do all that. We're certainly not talking 30, 60 days. We're talking probably longer. So,
Kathy LaVarna, knowing that this project has already come before the board several times, I think that we need to make a decision.
Okay. Thank you. Can I get a motion?
Scott Krotzer, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission deny the petition of Vardin Kasmian 10211023 West 36th Street 26-0009936 COA based on the incompatibility of the project with the following visual compatibility factors, scale, massing, style, context, streetscape, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Courtney Bonney, a second.
Thank you. Having a motion tendered and second, we'll bring it to a vote. We will start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, approved.
Pam Miller, approved.
Kathleen Bonney, approved. Courtney Bonney, approved.
Scott Krotzer, approved.
Jeff Natrika, approved. Motion carries. Next, we've got the petition of Barrel and Board Design, Shannon Taylor, 26-001009 COA, 213 West 35th Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Good afternoon. Alexander Merced again with the MPC. So 213 West 35th Street, the applicant would like to build an accessory dwelling unit or ADU behind the existing Victorian style duplex at 213 West 35th Street. The ADU will be two stories with a garage on the ground level that is accessed from the lane. They would also like to replace the existing side and rear fence with a 6-foot wall. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. So just for a bit of context, this is a residential building that was constructed in 1908 and is a contributing resource in the district. And it sits on a block with nearly all contributing buildings. However, the lane behind it contains multiple non-contributing single-story garages and no contributing lane structures. So just for a bit of historic context, Sanborn fire insurance maps from both 1916 and 1955 show that there were accessory structures in the rear yard of the property, namely a horse stable and a workshop in 1916, or what we would assume to be a workshop, as indicated right here, and a garage in 1955, as shown right here. So there is a historic precedence for a structure in the rear of this property. So this is how the site currently looks. This is taken from the lane behind the house, and that shows where the proposed ADU would be placed. And then these are views of the lane. This here on the left side is a view looking west down the lane, and this yellow arrow is pointing to the proposed location of the ADU. And then this is from the other side of the lane looking east. And as you can see, does show that there are no contributing structures. So here we have a site plan. All right, is it? Can you see it decently on the screen, or should I go bigger into it? You guys see it pretty well. So here's the site plan. If we dig into it a little bit, we have the primary structure, the primary home right here on the right hand side. To the left of that, we have the proposed ADU. And then down here, we have the already existing fence that is proposed to being replaced with that 6-foot wall. So zoomed in just a little bit for an aerial view. The proposed ADU will have a hipped roof, and the roof will be made of architectural asphalt shingles, both of which are within the standards. And then this piece right here, which is which will serve as a second story entrance to the ADU. You can see it a bit better here. These are the stairs going up. And then this part right here is the second story outer deck part of the ADU. The decking will be made of TimberTech Prime Collection wood composite. The balusters will be 1-inch square pickets that are 3 inches apart, so it does meet the 4 inches on center requirement. And the height of the railing is will be 36 inches, which is also in the does meet the standard. In addition, one standard, let's say uncovered decks shall be at the rear of the building or screened from view of the public right away. And this meets that standard as well, being in the rear yard between the primary building and the ADU. I will come back to address the stairwell connection here, but just a few more items in terms of scale and massing first. So the height of the primary building is 29 feet 7 inches, while the height of the ADU will be 23 feet and 10 inches. And also, as we know, the maximum allowable footprint of an ADU is 700 square feet or 40% of the primary structure's footprint. And this proposed ADU comes in well below both of those numbers. The footprint, it will be 540 square feet, and that is only 33.2% of the footprint of the primary building, which is 1,624.5 square feet. The ADU will be 2 stories tall. It will have a lane setback of 3 feet, which is within the 5-foot allowable setback to allow turning radius into the garage. And in terms of the side setbacks, those each need to be a minimum of 3 feet. The setback on the west, the west side setback, which is right here, is 3 feet. The east side setback is much larger than that, so those both meet the standard. And for the fence, it will be constructed of, or the proposed wall will be constructed of concrete block with a true stucco finish. And it will be 6 feet tall, which does come in underneath the maximum 8 feet allowed. And there is a portion of the wall that will be parallel to this adjacent home to the east of the primary residence. However, two things. Because this proposed wall is going in place of an existing fence, and also due to the fact that it will not be visible due to the fencing that abuts the lane behind it, that is, we do feel that that is permissible. All right. So here you have the finished elevations, south, east, west, and the north. So the ADU will be on top of a concrete slab foundation. The siding will be fiber cement hardy plank above painted CMU blocks. And according to the ordinance, unpainted exposed CMU blocks are prohibited as exterior wall material. So therefore these are painted to match the rest of the structure, so it doesn't meet the standard. The windows that are being used will be Windsor Pinnacle solid wood double hung windows. which are approved in the historic districts. And then two of the doors will be metal without wood grain simulation, and one will be wood. And thankfully, none of them have a decorative diamond or half moon inset. Also, the garage opening will be 9 feet by 7 feet, which is within the 12-foot maximum allowable width. Now, coming back to this proposed stairwell here that connects the main residence to the ADU. So there you can, this is it right here. And then you can see, kind of just understand how that does connect, seeing this one right here. So the proposed stairway connecting the two does not have a visual precedent in the surrounding area. However, there are a few reasons why I do believe that it is a reasonable inclusion. First and foremost, the stairway will be very minimal, if not fully non-visible from the street, because due to the fact that the houses are so close together. Second, there already does exist a stairwell coming down from the back, from that second floor porch there. And that's this black stairwell that comes straight off of the rear of that porch. Now, that already exists, but the proposed one would not come down straight like this. It would come off the side, the left side right here, which you could argue would be better than the existing stairwell that is already there. And also, it will serve as a secondary means of egress for the upstairs unit of the duplex of the primary structure. And then finally, there are no other contributing structures on the lane, so there is nothing else for it to quote-unquote clash with. And even though it is uncommon, staff does believe that it does work visually. And so, as stated before, due to these factors, staff does find it to be a reasonable inclusion. And just one more, I don't know why I went up there. Just one more note. There is a portion of the ordinance that does speak about attached ADUs. And it does say, when the unit is attached, it shall share a common wall with and have a separate entrance from the principal dwelling, or be connected by a covered walkway. And if it is deemed necessary in order to fit more within the ordinances, fit within the standards, the applicant has indicated that she would be willing to cover that stairway if that's something that you deem would make it more more amenable, more acceptable. So with all of that being said, staff does recommend to approve the construction of the proposed accessory dwelling unit at 213 West 35th Street as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Chair, Scott Krotzer, on the, can you go back to the Sanborn maps for me?
Yes. Really quick?
I just noticed the footprint of that stairwell on the Sanborn in 1916 when it was built.
Yeah, and that, I mean, it's the same.
And the decorativeness path of that porch on the second floor, I would argue, is original.
So this does, if you look here, that little number one there, I do believe that indicates that that was just a one-story porch. But I mean, that is a good point. There is, there was at one point a stairwell that did follow a similar direction at the very least.
Yeah, I saw the one too, but what was confusing is the stairway is going down off of a one. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that one, that is an interesting one. Don't have a good answer for that one, though.
Courtney, Bonnie, I had a couple questions. So have we been able to confirm that there aren't any fire code issues with connecting these in this way?
That's not something that we that is in our purview. So that's not something that we look
building
at.
Building code will cover that?
I'm sorry?
Building code will cover that before they issue the permit?
Correct. If this is approved, then that would be something that would go through, as you said, building code, and that would be handled from them, from their end.
Any other questions for staff?
Yes, this is Pam Miller. Talking about the possibility of having to have a covered walkway, from a design standpoint, that might look very odd. But if we decide not to do that, would we need any kind of an exception or variance or anything for that? Because of
well, I think I do agree that would be, I think that's main. I don't know about a main reason, but it wasn't submitted with a covering over it. And
also the only situation where it would be considered attached is if the distance or the separation between the ADU and the principal structure is less than 10 feet. That is the only situation where they'd have to make it attached. But if it's already more than 10, then I think the development services would not consider it necessary for them to cover.
Well, the distance between the two is 13.5 square feet, 13.5 feet. So, like we discussed early in the pre-meeting, it is something that is a bit different. So, I wanted to put that there just to cover all the bases and just basically see if that would be something that you.
I just wanted to make sure if we did not require the cover that we had a way to make sure that was good, but we don't need to is what you're saying.
The only situation where even the staircase would be considered a part of the 10 feet separation would be if the staircase was an integral part of the principal structure itself. If it was part of the principal house, then the edge of the staircase would be the starting point of the 10 feet. But in this case, it would be, I'm assuming, not considered part of the principal structure.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Okay, can we hear from the petitioner?
Yes.
Thank you, Alexander. I'm Shannon Taylor with Barrel and Board Design.
Anything you'd like to add?
I feel like he covered everything.
Okay. All right.
He was very thorough.
Thank you very much. Let's see here. We have new public comment cards. I guess we'll close this to board discussion. We'll start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, no further comment.
Pat Miller, I'm going to agree with staff recommendations.
Kath Levana, I agree with staff.
Courtney Bonnie, no additional comment.
Scott Krotzer, I just wonder what that original stairwell was and if this is a part of the original footprint. That's the only concern that I have.
Okay, can I get a motion from someone, please?
This is Pam Miller. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Shannon Taylor, Barrel and Board Design, 213 West 35th Street, 26-001009 COA, as submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Kathleen Biner, second.
Thank you. Having a motion tendered and second, let's go ahead and take it to a vote. We'll start with Scott.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approved.
Jeff Netrica, approve. Motion carries. For our final agenda item for the day, we'll go back to the petition of Amicus Properties, Inc., 25-005239 COA, 215 West Anderson Street, Rehabilitation and Alterations.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. We have heard this petition multiple times. I shall try to keep it short and
brief and primarily address what happened in the previous meeting and how it has been addressed. As we know, it's a rear second floor addition and an enclosure of an existing rear wall. And if it is a subordinate roof form, a rear wall becomes the interior and no change to the primary facade. And here are the Sanborn maps that that was used to understand what was historic, what wasn't, because it wasn't extremely clear to us. And the concerns raised in the previous meeting, one was the height relative to the cornice, because the roof, even though was subordinate, kind of started at the same cornice height. And the other was a siding differentiation to avoid the new addition to seem historic and to be, and the window sizes, lighting, and the ghost marking of the porch that exists, and to avoid using historic materials in the addition and the roof shape to be reconsidered. And the applicant has addressed the above in the following ways. The roof has been pulled lower. A siding width has been increased to 5/4 inch exposure, and the window configurations have been updated. I will let the petitioner go in detail about the changes as made. And the ghost marking of the historic porch has been included. Materials differentiated from historic and the roof shape has been revised. Without going into the standards again for staff had already found the project to be compatible to the Secretary of the Interior standards and the visual compatibility criteria, and believes it continues to remain so after addressing the previous concerns. But I'm happy for the commission to have a discussion based on what was actually expected and what was submitted, and thereby staff recommends to approve the request for the rear second floor addition and associated exterior alterations of the property located at 215 West Anderson Street as requested, because it's visually compatible and meets the applicable standards. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for the staff? Okay, hearing none. Is the petitioner here?
I am. Good afternoon. I'm Tim Kinsey with Core Design. 408 Clayton Street, Savannah, Georgia.
Thank you. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I appreciate y'all rearranging the order, accommodating my schedule today. I hope I've addressed the let's the elevation.
Any questions from board members for the petitioner? Okay, I don't think we have any. Thank you very much.
Okay.
We have one public comment card from Kaylee Johnson.
Hi, Kaylee Johnson with the Historic Savannah Foundation. HSF's biggest concern with the new proposal is the ghost mark of the porch railing. We understand that this was a recommendation from the board, and we appreciate the intent to acknowledge the porch once it's no longer there. However, we find ghost markings in this situation to be inappropriate. The porch will be enclosed and the shadow will be created on a newly constructed wall. The creation of a shadow here risks creating a false sense of history, or at the very least confusion about the building's history of alterations. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time we are closed to public comments, so we'll go into board discussion. Let's start with Pat.
Pat Richardson, no comments.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Kathy Levina, I agree with Historic Savannah Foundation. I think that it was interpreted wrong. The porch, the reference of ghost marking the porch was for the east facade, where the enclosed porch is now being covered over with siding. So the ghost mark needs to be on that east facade, representing where that porch once was, because the porch was a historic character defining detail. By putting the railing on the rear facade, you've created a false sense of history, but it doesn't need to be there. It's not where the ghost mark needs to be. It needs to be on the east facade. I guess the question I had was,
You're doing 1/1 windows in the rear addition?
Yes, ma'am.
As opposed to the 2/2? I'm sorry. The historic windows are 2/2 and you're doing 1/1, correct, in that new addition?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to let my other board members speak and then I'll state something else.
Courtney Bonney, I'll just continue my comments from last month. I still feel that the scale of this addition is inappropriate given the remainder of the building. I don't think it's differentiated enough from the original structure, and that the roof line and the scale of the addition are inappropriate when taken with the rest of the building. So I think they still need to be scaled down and articulated more and have more reference and relationship with the existing roof line. So, you know, they just are competing in terms of, you know, their scale and design with one another. So for me, I still think that the design of this is not compatible with the existing structure.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with the commission's.
Okay, can I get a motion? Kathy, you had some other comments?
Kathy Levine, I was looking over my list, and my main concern was the window pattern, the porch ghost mark, and I have windows on the second floor facade of the rear facade. By taking away that ghost mark railing, a window needs to be added to that second floor facade to even out the composition.
Is that something you want to ask the petitioner if they're comfortable doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I mean, in the previous submittal, this rear elevation would have been what you were looking for as far as having the windows. My misunderstanding of what you were requesting was the shadow to be on the east facade? Right. All right. Well, that being said, I mean, it is an easy swap to put the window in lieu of these railings and then put the same detailing on the side. As far as the scale, are we talking about scale of material or scale of the actual structure?
I think the scale of the actual structure. So, I mean, I think the fact that they're utilizing two different roof pitches, I think you have issues with.
Reality, though, is I have.
I understand what you're trying.
The floor height is exactly where I can put it.
I understand that.
And the ceiling height is only 8 feet.
Sir, I understand why you're designing it the way that you're designing it. What my comment is that I feel like that goal is not in alignment with designing something that is visually compatible and appropriate addition to the back of the structure. So I think that in my opinion, to meet the visual compatibility standards, you're going to have to lose some of that head height and some of that usable square footage to design an addition that is thoughtful and goes with the remainder of the structure. So that's my take on it, and that's my reading of the ordinance and the design of this addition.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a motion from someone, please? Kathy.
Any? Yeah. All right. Kathy Levina, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of Amicus Properties 215 West Anderson Street 25-005239-COA New Construction Part 1 and 2 until, you think next month? Did you get the couple things that we talked about?
Just a little tweak.
The tweaking for till next month? To the April 22nd meeting?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, perfect. For the applicant to address the ghost mark of the porch, the ghost marking only being where the porch originally existed, not that new addition, just that one little section. You can ghost mark
just it. On the east side,
just that one
5 section. Feet away from the other building.
However you want to do it.
Right.
I can't design.
Okay.
However you want to indicate that porch. And include in the drawings 1/1 windows on the new addition. In the drawings that were submitted, they still show 2/2. That's why I had that question. And those are the two. Until April 22nd.
Can I get a second?
Pat Richardson, second.
Thank you. Having a motion tendered and second, I'd like to go for a vote. We'll start with Scott.
Scott Crotzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Jeff Natrika, approve. Thank you. See you in April. Caitlin, do we have anything else?
I think that's it. We have our Sam drawings report, and that's really all there is.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and call for an adjournment. Thank you, folks.